For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to introduce you to the Union GK Premium. With Premium, you'll get vetted pro players and coaches, interactive breakdown sessions, and exclusive content from top names. Want to try it free for 30 days? Go to unionsports.com/content/join or download the app free at the Union GK on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from West Hollywood, California. With me, you know her as 99 World Cup winner, CBS, Paramount, NWSL analyst, Saskia Weber, who's spending just as much time in Florida now as Leo Messi will be spending.
I know, right? And I don't, do you like the nod to Florida with my, like, you know, my peach or whatever you want to call it, sweatshirt?
I love it. I love it. You got the whole
you
tropical
thing. You
didn't
throw
out
in there coach of the seven, you know, 77.
I did not. You're right. I should have thrown that in there. I should have.
Because I'm going to take all credit for Lindsay's performance.
You can have it. Take it all.
Oh, man. Well, the cat's out of the bag.
I will say when I warmed her up, she was psyched at my half volley, the power behind it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was solid.
Oh,
yeah. My knee's swollen, by the way. Oh, my
God. Well, we should just introduce her right now. You guys know her as a social media sensation from last week from U.S. Women TST 7v7s tournament, Lindsay Harris. I'm not going to lie. Like, we've had some pretty solid people on the podcast. I don't know if we've ever had anybody who trended as hard on Twitter as you. It's just absolutely unreal.
Yeah, I was not really expecting all of that coming into the tournament. I just wanted to, like, have some fun. So I did not know anything what to expect, but it was so much fun. I had a great time. I don't know about everyone else, but
you know. I gotta tell you something, right? So in our third game, me and Jan Mead are sitting there on our coolers, right? And Carla Overbeck looks at us and Lindsay's like, holds her wrist, right? And we're like, oh, is she hurt? And like, Jen looks at me and I look at her, I was like, I'm not touching this 2-day performance. I was like, oh, me and Jen ran out at half and we're like, are you okay? Do you need anything? Are you all right? Do you need a trainer?
I was like signaling like, how much time is left? Because I was
like, we thought you were holding your wrist.
Because like, we're getting shelled again. How much time is left?
And Carla's looking at me and I'm like, oh my God, please don't tell me she's hurt. Please don't tell me she's hurt.
Oh my God. Well, but Lindsay, before we get into today's topic, which is going to be a great topic and talking about small-sided actions, obviously who else better to have on than somebody that literally performed better than I think I've ever seen anybody in a 7-a-side game performing goal. But why don't you kind of tell everybody kind of like how about this all happened, you know, how did you get on this team?
So I was just, you know, hanging out one day and one of my friends, Hannah Gardner, who was also on the team, she messaged me and was like, hey, Heyo, like, Heyo wants you to play in this like little 7v7 thing. Like, you should like play. And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of, I got to come all the way back from Europe. Like, I don't know, timing wise, like I kind of want to, you know, travel a little bit during the off season. And then like the next day, Heyo texted me personally. I was like, dude, you got to come play in this tournament. 77. It's going to be sick. Like, she was selling it. And I was like, all right. Yeah. Okay. If you're going to ask, then yeah, I'll do it. So yeah, I didn't really know much about it. Just thought it was going to be 77 tournament with a bunch of alum and ex, you know, US people. And that's all I really needed to know. She said $1 million prize. I said, let's go.
Yeah. I love, first of all, Hey, oh, it's Heather O'Reilly, everybody. And so, you know, when she called, you like we all answered. So it was like, you know, I was like, I'm not playing. And I think the only one of the 99ers that played, obviously, was Christine Lilly, because she just ran the Boston Marathon and she could play when she's 100, probably. You know, we were all jumping on board to just like be there. Be present. I wouldn't say there was much coaching going on and everything. And it was funny because at one point, like Carla looked at us on the sideline and they're like, you know, I was like, me and Jen were like, Jen Mead, another, you know, US national team goalkeeper, was like, we have nothing to say to Lindsay whatsoever. Just keep doing you, keep doing what you do. And I go, I'm not coaching anything. I was like, me and Jen are like, want some water? Need a massage? What do you need?
You became the physio crew. You became the physio crew.
We were just like, let's just keep her hydrated. Like, whatever she wants, she can have.
Like she was a boxer out there.
It was ridiculous. I was like the cut man.
Oh my gosh. By the way, my favorite was when during the broadcast on Peacock, when they were like, and so Christine Lilly, the ball to the Christine Lilly. Yes, that Christine Lilly. Like,
no, but you know, it was amazing. Listen, like, we'll get into this deep, but you got absolutely shelled. And you would just, I want you to actually talk about, before we get into it, talk about, because I want, first of all, you should be in the NWSL. And we all know that. And so anybody out there and all of our followers that are watching and coaches and everything like that, you need a goalkeeper. There's one sitting right here that's ready to go and beyond ready to go. So you had just come back from Portugal, right? Playing pro. Mm-hmm. So yep. talk about your background and where you went and played pro and everything. Cause we're going to sell you here. We're going to get you a deal and everything.
This is the Lindsay Harris infomercial.
Absolutely,
guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you got to act now because the offers are limited right now. Absurd. They're going fast.
And let me tell some of you NWSL teams out there, you need her. Okay. So I'm just going to put it that way.
Appreciate it. Well, should I start like, from first year pro or?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, you played at UNC, which by mm-hmm. the way, it's kind of funny because yes, it was an alumni reunion. I was like, are our mm-hmm. colors like Carolina blue? But let's go after you left the Tar Heels and went on.
So I started in Iceland. That was my first year pro because I just, Anson told me you need to play right away. So wherever that is, go do it. So I played, went to Iceland first, did a season there. We finished, I'll just
for who? Reykjavik?
It was FH was the team. It's in Reykjavik. We got.
You're impressed with that, aren't you?
I'm very impressed.
Our team wasn't great, but we finished with like the most points that the team had ever had in history. So that was cool. And then I went on to Norway and I played two seasons in Norway for Klepp Elite. We finished second and third there, which is, again was the highest that the club had ever finished. And then I came back to the U.S. and I played for Houston for 3 years. My first year there was COVID. And then I got a few games in the next year when Jane was away at national team duties. And then I got like a few games my third year, but I kind of wanted to go play somewhere.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, you know, tired of that. So I left Houston and I went to Portugal and I came in mid season. So I went, got there in February. So they were already halfway through the season. So we just finished in May. Yeah. In May we just finished. So I was just there for about 4 months.
I mean, look, and you know, one of the craziest things is like when they were saying on the broadcast, they're like, and she flew in from Portugal. I was like, wow, that is.
It made you sound super bougie.
I know.
It did. It did.
Made me sound fancy.
It sounded like you had to take a Gulfstream over really quickly.
She flew in on a private jet. Then we helicoptered her from RDU. She just landed on the extra field and she's running to the game right now.
Which. I mean, not that out of the question, because a lot of the teams there at TST, you know, Saskia, you can attest for this, did have people literally fly in from all over the world just for a couple days and then fly back out. So
they did. And I saw that the winner was the club out of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
which the young guys, they're actually the most pro out of all the players and the youngest set of players out of the teams. And what is it? I can't remember the name of the town.
Newton Pride.
Newton Pride. So congratulations, yeah. Newton Pride and Connecticut. But, you know, I think I was floored, not floored, because I hadn't seen you play and I haven't, mm-hmm. you know, I hadn't followed your career or anything. I mean, I was selling, basically insurance the other week. So not really, but I'm just saying. But just stepping into a situation that you know, and I know, and Mike knows, you're going to get shelled. Mm-hmm. And we all knew that, you know?
Yeah.
That was a heavy call on any goalkeeper that stepped into that, which is why I said no. And and just talk about like how it felt, like the experience.
I mean, yeah, going into
like, I think your job over, Mike.
I can go make lunch right now. I have this delicious kebab sandwich.
Normally,
from yesterday.
Mike is the catalyst. He's the host and stuff. But no, I'm so excited.
Also, what's so great about this is, as Suski spending all this time now, you know, on all these national broadcasts. Pretty soon, I won't even have to be there. I can just take days off. Suski can just run the show, which is great. I'm down with that. Go ahead, Liz.
What was the question again? Oh, yeah. Okay. So I think, going into it, I was like, I'm going to get shelled. It is what it is. Like, and I think Anson even said, like, if you keep it below 20, you'll be, you know, it'll be a success. And I was like, well, you know, thanks for that support.
No, he's right. I love Anson.
All right, great. Thanks. So that was fun. But no, I knew at least for me as a goalkeeper coming in with playing against men, which I've never really in that capacity played against, I could really only ever overachieve. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anyone expected anything. So I kind of went into it being like, you can only overachieve. So you've already won, really. You know, what's there to lose? So first game, I didn't really know, you know, what to expect. Come in first game and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long game. This is going to be a long weekend. But I just honestly, I just drank a lot of caffeine and was like, let's go, let's just get wired.
Right, so, because of me and Mike,
let's get wired.
I will say this. Lindsay said to me, she goes, all right. I said, are you ready? You know, this is the second game on the first day. And she's like, all right, I have to time my power drink correctly. And I go, what do you mean? She's like, so I got to time it so it hits at the right point. On an empty stomach. This is what I do.
I read somewhere that you want to drink caffeine an hour before you want to perform. So I don't know how true that is scientifically.
But. Well, apparently I pulled up whatever you were drinking, whether it was Red Bull or anything, because you should get a deal through that because you obviously performed.
And I'm
not going to lie.
I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say I'm taking notes right now because I have a 7-a-side playoff game tomorrow night. So I'm going to make sure at caffeine an hour before so I can play like Lindsay Harris.
I read that somewhere. And I also know that if I eat too much, the caffeine doesn't do what I want it to do. So it's a balance between the right food and the right timing of the caffeine.
Yes, she was very bad.
It's all about, food science.
You know, and this is something we'll probably get into, like when we start getting into the topic and everything, Saskia. But one of the things I loved about Lindsay's performance, you know, and we're just going to boast about you for an hour here, Lindsay. That's literally all this podcast is.
That's what this is
boasting
for.
About you, showing actions of you from last week. But is the fact that this happens a lot of times, Saskia, with young players or players that go into an environment that they're not familiar with, whether they're stepping up. You know, up an age group or going from youth to college or college to pro, is they start treating the game differently as in regards to like how they perform their actions, their positioning changes, their movement changes because the speed of the ball is changing. And so they go, oh, well, I have to, I have to do things differently. But in reality, what I loved about Lindsay's performance is that she played it exactly the same way as if she was playing in Portugal or playing at North Carolina or whatever, because the angles are the same. The balls are the same, you know, and so the actions are going to be the same. You just have to move at the speed of the action.
Well, I agree and disagree a little bit. I think that the reason that the angles and stuff ended up being the same was because we were in a smaller goal. And I think had we played seven aside in a bigger goal, then the way Lindsay went about it would have had to be different. She would have had to be higher off her line, close things more because the goal was a legal goal. Because the goal was a smaller goal, it allowed her to play similar to how you would play on a larger field. That being said, you're talking about shots that are coming you from six yards away at 90 miles an hour. And to have the reaction that she did and to stay big and everything, but to get back up at the pace she got back up to make the second save it's what was even bigger. And so that's what for me was so impressive. It wasn't like, okay, I made the first save, but to get back up so fast and make the second save and to make yourself big. And there were like, cause you know, you're talking about shots in a regular game that are coming from like the 12, the top of the 18, you know, even the six. Now you're talking about men shooting on you from 6 yards out with all power and force and pace possible. And it was just an outstanding, outstanding show of goalkeeping. And I said to Lindsay and Jen said, I said it to her after it was all over. I said, watching you play goal reminded me of why I love and have played this position. And that's why 100%.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I agree with the like with the smaller goal. I knew I'm not getting chipped. Right. I don't really have to worry about up here because I'm probably not going to get roofed either. I was like, if I just stay as low as possible, it's going to hit me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really need to do, as long as my body's somewhere, it'll probably hit me because the goal's smaller and the angles are that much. You have to be that much more precise. I was like, it's going to hit you just like being in the right spot.
Yeah. So Mike, if you play tomorrow, this weekend you're playing in a regular size goal, 7v7, right? So you have to, you have to be cognizant of multiple things differently than in a smaller goal. But like kids out there, imagine if you're playing 7v, if you're basically everything is happening in a large goal inside the 18. And how are you going to play it? You're not going to get chipped, right? You're not, you know, but, and, the width, maybe from the width, but I just, it was a clinic in how to play goal in this situation.
Yeah. And I love that fact that you brought that up, Saskia, in regards to being able to adjust to your environment and, you know, not change the way you play, but understand the game that the demands of the game that are in front of you, which is going to be obviously a little different. You know, Lindsay, one thing I want to say just in regards to all of that is just that, like, and again, I'm not trying to boast or whatever, but I don't know if I have ever seen a performance at such a level before, like in my life, that was just so consistent action.
Yeah.
You know, even in the indoor game, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. So like what you did out there was absolutely extraordinary. Regardless,
I appreciate it.
Regardless of what the level is.
No, it was. And it really, really, really was. When I showed up to Carla and Wendy Gebauer and everybody, Dino Palladino, they pulled me over. They're like, oh my God, you should have seen, because I didn't get there in time for the first game. You should have seen Lindsay in its first game and everything like that. And then as soon as we got into the second game, first five saves, they were like, see, we're telling you. I hesitate to use the word extraordinary because it's not extraordinary because that's how good you are. And so, and people need to take note of that.
Let me tell you, I was exhausted because I didn't have a lot of in my stomach. I was like, oh, maybe I should have eaten more.
My favorite is I showed up the next day and she has like bruises. I'm like, what's that? She's like,
oh yeah.
She's like, I don't know. I got bruises showing up everywhere.
You should see the inside of my leg right now. It's just, the whole thing is yellow and blue. No, yeah, but I think during the Wrexham game, I think there was one moment where you could see my face, and I was just like,
"Yeah." We
saw there was a few of those. There are a few of them on camera, and I think they've become memes. Like it's just a, like that sort of thing. Because like, you know, I mean, just like double save, triple save, quadruple save. I mean, just it's just. You know, but it's also going to be a testament to you as when we watch your actions later on about never giving up on a play,
no.
Always staying involved in the action until it's finally, you know, either out of play in a safe area or whether it's in your hands. All right, let's get into this topic, and we're definitely going to talk about the fact that like Lee Trundle may be the biggest soccer player I've ever seen in my life. Like I've never seen a human being that.
Oh, big he was legitimately a rugby player.
Yeah,
and by the way, he was the biggest. He bitched about everything out there. Yeah. So
he was
like,
yelling at the refs for us fouling him. I was like, I don't think that's possible.
So he's like grabbing shorts on us and like pulling things. And so somebody does it to him, and he's like, "What? They grabbed me!" And we're like, "Really, really?"
But I love it. It's like the respect. You know what I mean?
It was good.
He had respect for our team. He's getting. Like he's playing that like as if it was a real game against anybody else. He didn't take it easy on us. He didn't, you know.
No.
He was playing how he always plays, and that's what I love that. Like that's
he fouled us just like he fouled everybody else.
No, it was great. Gosh. All right, let's move into the topic. Let's get into the weeds here. Today's topic, guys, is small-sided actions. So, Lindsay, maybe for some of the people who are tuning in late and don't know what we were talking about because they didn't watch the TST, why don't you kind of just break down what the dimensions of these fields were and how this game played?
That's a great question. What are the dimensions of it?
You don't need to be like specific, like, you know, numbers-wise or anything like that. So.
Does anyone know the dimensions? I know the goal was like 6 feet by like 18 feet.
Yeah, it was a U9 goal, right?
Yeah,
U9 goal. Okay.
You know, so yeah.
What would you say?
It was a U9, so it wasn't the regular width or height. I'd say it was 6 by.
I think it was like 6 by 18 and a half or something.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. It was, and then the field itself was. Probably the 6 was actually the 4, and the 18 was actually the penalty spot.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're getting a shot from outside the box, you're literally getting a penalty kick on you.
Yeah,
You're getting a PK. Yeah, because when they actually had the players take PKs, when there were PKs, they were from the top of the box. So I'd say the top of the box was 12.
I'd say half field was probably like 30.
Yeah. So you could throw, basically, you could one hop throw or throw full field if you needed to.
Yeah.
Wow. So that was another thing that I wanted to ask you, Lindsay, is like, so how did the, like, these dimensions affect, like, the way that you manipulate the space? Like, we already obviously talked about the goal being smaller, but
yeah,
in regards to the field size.
Well, for one, like, you don't have to worry about the space in behind, you know, and there's no offside either. So it's not like we're trying to play a high line or play a trap or something. You don't have to worry about space in behind, so you don't have to like position yourself that way, and also because there's no offside, there's players flying everywhere, people are standing on the end line. It takes a lot of organization. I would say just constant. I think I lost my voice. It was like constant. It's basically all of the like 11v11, it's all of the action parts of the 11v11 without the boring parts where it's at the other end of the field, you know what I mean? Because it was pretty much always something going on.
So it's basically third actions.
Yeah, but I think the hardest part about that is there was no offside. So what you had was with Wrexham, you had them posting up, basically. So you had to keep somebody deep with them because you could literally stand in front of Lindsay if you wanted to. So there's no offsides. So they did
that doesn't really seem fair.
They did something we could have done it too. They did something no other team did, and that's put, you know, Godzilla basically like posted up at the 12. And so like just serving in and dishing off and then a shot, serving in, dishing off and a shot. Literally. It was like, it was literally like that shooting drill. Like, you know,
yeah.
So
Lindsay, when youth players are playing in like these types of environments, these little sevens tournaments and stuff like that, like what would you recommend that they really focus on when they're playing it? Like shot stopping actions, distribution, possession, like what do you think?
Well, yeah, as you may have noticed, the shot stopping is a big part of the it's a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a little bit. Like before, a few days before, I had some of the UNC college girls, I had them come out and I said, like, these are all going to be close range shots, all of them. So like stand, like shoot from here and just shoot as hard as you can at me. Just pelt me like as hard as you can from, you know, 12 yards or something like that. Because I knew it was just going to be boom, 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 boom. So shot stopping close range also, I would say that. And in terms of distribution, it's kind of a lot more like finesse passing. You're not doing, you know, long, you don't have to kick very long, so it's kind of like small spaces distribution. The players or the keepers that are best in those scenarios are players that are good with their feet, keepers that are good with the feet. If you look at like the Newtown, the Newton team, like their keeper, he was confident coming forward all the time, and there was even a lot of keeper assists. And even when in overtime, when they were bringing people's off, the teams that excelled were the teams with keepers who could use their feet. Because it's such a numerical advantage in that space, I would say. So definitely being able to use your feet, passing into small gaps, those kinds of things.
I think one of the things that for young keepers out there in this situation was it's not just shot stopping, but it's your body positioning and weight on the shot stopping. So with the ball coming at that pace from that close, if your body weight is flat or back, you're getting blown into the back of the net. Mm-hmm. So your save is still going negative. But what Lindsay did so amazingly was she's held strong. Body weight was forward. So whenever she made a shot, the rebound was wide or it was back out or anything. It wasn't, I'm getting blown this way, I'm getting blown that way. So the pace, when you think the pace would beat her, the pace wasn't beating her.
You know, I love what you just said right there, Saskia, because I think that's one of the mistakes that a lot of young goalkeepers make when they are playing on a small-sided game. You know, let's say they're in a showcase environment, a college showcase or whatever, and their technique changes, or it kind of showcases their bad habits. Like you can get away with it in the 18, you know, in the full 11s game because of the fact that the shots are coming from a farther distance, you have more time to react, that sort of thing. But Lindsay, on these small fields right there, if your power shoulder is even slightly negative, well, then you're literally guiding the ball into the mm-hmm. net with the speed.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, like growing up, that's what my coaches were always on me for, was like diving backwards or having my weight backwards. Like only recently have I really started to force myself forward, which, you know, great timing with learning how to do that. But yeah,
it makes a difference.
Yeah. And in terms of rebounds, I think that's really important, is holding things, one, two, and two, putting them out of danger. Because a lot of times you see a lot of goals in 11v11, too, where, you know, people are punching things out or putting them in bad spots and not just like cleaning it up and just ending the play altogether.
Yeah. And a lot of the saves, I think also what you realized was it just takes a fingertip. Mm-hmm. And from that thing, so some of the things were just like a fingertip to guide it this way, a fingertip to guide it that way. But again, I go back to the fact that because her weight wasn't backwards 99% of the time and everything, it was forward. So those guiding balls, those little flicks went around. They went this way. They went back, you know, and then she was able to get back up so fast and get her shape again.
Yeah, my hips are mad at me for all that.
I mean, it's funny. We brought that up with Dane St. Clair last week from Minnesota United, Saskia, in regards to the fact that, like, let the ball do the work, because a lot of times if there's a lot of pace on the ball, by you putting too much into the ball, it's actually counterproductive, because the ball already had movement. It's just about redirecting that movement of the ball.
Yeah.
Which is massive. All right. Let's put some of these actions here. I think everyone's champing at the bit to watch these.
Let's see some of this.
So we're gonna throw these in here. So this is like what. So first off, Lindsay, thank you for putting all this together. So just to let you know, I think Lindsay spent the last 2 days literally cutting.
Well, she
clips.
Better, because her agent needs to see it.
Selfishly, I just wanted to make my own highlight.
You should, because all the NWSL teams and your agent need to send it out. So just say it.
All right, let's start with this right here. So this is like 18 seconds into the game, right? So this is like the very first.
Yeah, this was the essentially first start action. Of the game. Yeah,
this is unbelievable. So what happens right here is Lewis Lloyd. It's a cutback inside the box to Dan Jones, I think it is, who then hits the shot, quick reflex save, and then is that Lee Trundle? Is that the gigantic man coming in for the header?
No, no, I don't think he was in yet.
Oh, he wasn't in yet. Okay. Okay. So it looks like, but there, it looks like it's a back post header. So let's just start this again. Well, I mean, that's unbelievable. It's happened so fast. It's hard to even like break it down.
But this is my point. And you guys can break it down. Look how fast Lindsay gets back up.
Boom.
In that tight of a space.
Yeah. She's, I mean, you're covering that near post just fantastically.
So you can have keepers make that first save, but who gets up that quick to make the second save?
Exactly. So first off, let's start from the very beginning right here. First off, what are you seeing here, Lindsay?
Well, the ball in, we need to work on our marking in there, first of all. I don't know why he's so wide open in there, but... I don't know. I hope I said something, but we need to work on that over there. But yeah, I don't know who that is defending. I don't know. I can't tell from here. But I would want them to cut off that middle pass and kind of force them a little bit more in line. Well, let's see if he could keep.
So here's the cutback. Here's the through ball.
Oh, yeah. It's right there.
Yeah, but okay, so we will digress in this. It's so tight and so fast that on an 11v11 field, like, you'd be subbed out as a defender, leaving people open like this. Understand, and we won't get on anybody. Also, you know, I think so we won't get on any of the player. Well, I can, but this is what happens in small-sided, really tight spaces, but those openings become so much worse in a sense.
And also for me, like, in this field, everything can be a shot, so like, I gotta prepare here. I can't be cheating for this cross, because like, he could just as easily shoot that, you know. And
because technically you're inside the 18, so
yeah you're right, that's just a shot inside the box.
No pun intended, but you're inside the 18.
No. So as this ball's here, I love that lateral movement by you, Lindsay. But you're not approaching, because it's happening so fast. Instead, you're just shifting. You're just redirecting your body so that you're ready. Shot, boom, save. And then, see, what I love here, it's the head track. That's why you're able to get up so quick, because it's boom, and then it's the head is following the ball. And that's why you're able to get up so quick. Most keepers won't make this save. This is world class right there. Are you kidding me?
Thanks. I think, that was like the first one of the game. And I think I remember just being, we're in it now. Let's go. Well, we're in it.
Yeah, I think what you said, Mike, there is important, because you think, all right, do you steal space, right? Does your adjustment off what, like, protecting your near posts because you're in a tight space mean I come and steal space? But in this tight of a situation, if you don't take that lateral step and you take a step forward, you're possibly beat because of the pace of the ball, and your adjustment was kind of in the wrong direction. Like, you have to allow yourself that little minuscule amount of depth here to actually make the reaction. Do you see what I'm saying? So I think that allowed her to make the first save. I'm just, you know, speaking as me. And then I still can't get over how fast he got back up, because let me tell you something, how I made that save, I'd still be laying on the ground.
I'm putting that on caffeine.
Last thing I want to say about this save right here, Lindsay, I think it's a great example for young goalkeepers to see about being able to improvise within the moment, as opposed to what, oh, this is what you're supposed to do in goalkeeping because my coach tells me to blah, blah, blah. Instead, you're like, keep the ball out of the net. I see the ball is going in the direction. I'm going to shoot my hand forward. I'm going negative into the goal, but it keeps the ball out of the net. All that sort of stuff. I love that. It's effective goalkeeping, as we like to call it.
Yeah.
And I've never been, you can ask any of my coaches, I've never been one to be very technical in terms of goalkeeping technical sense. I've never been good form good this, like perfect footwork, perfect everything. I just know that it's not supposed to go in the rectangle. So
just like, keep it out of the net. Keep it out of the net.
The UNC keeper coach, like my freshman year, he said I came in so like raw, like just pure, just in like, you know, instinct, stuff like that. So
who was your coach, Chris?
Yeah, Dukar, yeah.
Yeah, he was there actually.
So I just never, for anyone out there who's not very technical, you can get around it in other ways.
Yeah, it's true.
So I want to play this clip right here. This, not this one right here, but the good handling right there on that. Boom. Just nice and tight right into the pocket, holding on. Mm-hmm, who says you're not technical? Look how clean that was.
This is like eight. A fetal save. I don't know.
This is like 8 minutes in. I think it's a give and go to Trundle, who then this is the post up thing that you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm.
This is what I was
literally posting up like a basketball player.
All game. All game he did that.
He just sits there and posts up and lays off. That's all he did.
Mm-hmm. It's effective though.
There.
It was effective. Or he texts, or because such a tight, and I will give it to the guys, they were so quick on the trigger. So it took like just a tiny little touch and opening and then a shot. So where it wasn't a big touch that you can readjust to as a goalkeeper, it was like boom, boom, shot, you know? So
Yeah, and it's Rutherford, the layoff to Trundle, and then he literally is using your player as a shield so you can't see, and then turns. And, I mean, that's what makes the save so difficult is you can
and
barely
through the legs.
See.
And through the legs.
Yeah, it's just unreal. And then what I love about that kick save right there is that you are using that positive body shape to be able to play the ball into a good area, as opposed to if that leg was dragged back, that's in the net right there. So that's just massive right there. I just want
to, yeah, if you see in the beginning of the clip, like, look how I'm trying to just see the ball. I'm trying to get so low just so I could see it.
Yeah. And then there's another play here too. It's just second ball.
Never ending.
You have to full it never ending.
Yeah. That was just get as low as I possibly can. So
even, she even had the other team high fiving her. Are you kidding me?
It's unbelievable. So here's a little bit better angle of it, so everybody can see a little bit tighter in for those of you guys who are watching the show. And if you guys are listening to the audio, I really suggest you guys start watching the vodcast because you're missing a lot with just the audio. And it's available on the Union, so go and check it out. So here's that post-up move. And look at that shape by Lindsay right there. It's like you're saying, you're low because you're not going to get roofed right there, so you've got that power. And as he's hitting that ball and trying to bend it across, that power leg is forward, allowing it to scoot in, boom, right there. Yeah. And then it's that recovery again, right to the post.
All about the – I'm loving the recovery. Yeah. Because so many of your saves were off – there were second saves and third saves. Mm-hmm. And so the recovery, everybody listening out there, was so important. Else it would be great for a save, ball in the back of the net off the second shot.
Yeah.
You know? So –
Amra, shout out to you for the comment right there. Hands down, Harris was the MVP of the U.S. team.
Totally agree.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Amra, let us know where in the world you're watching the show from. We always love to hear. So, guys, when you do put comments in the live show, please tell us where you're watching the show from because we want to hear. Let's move on from here. There's just so many. It's so many actions. It's so hard to choose.
It took a while.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. Here's another one and then clean. And this is, I think a lot of people need to understand that when shots are coming in at such a short distance, to be able to hold on to these balls clean is just incredible. Incredible. Because it's not easy. So here's what happens with this one right here.
What about that touch? Oh.
Well, to be fair, I gave her a bit of a bouncer. I could have given her a better ball. And part of my reaction afterwards was me knowing I did it to myself because I gave her
kind of
a poor ball. And I should have given her. Yeah, I gave her a really poor. I should have rolled it on the ground. So kind of put myself in that situation, but it's all right.
But you know what, Lindsay, that's not uncommon in the small sided game. I've seen so many goalkeepers do this, including myself. I make that save right here. And then I just throw it there because I'm thinking big field dimensions. I'm like, this is what I would do on a big field.
Right.
But the dimensions are so small that just that slight bounce on that field right there, if the touch isn't clean, that dude's there. He's there again.
Yeah.
What does he do? He just stands there. Just stands there.
I think he's going to be playing for X-Men like next season.
I mean, call him up.
I think they're going to call him back in.
Unbelievable. But here's the greatest thing about this. So you stay high here. Your shape is nice and solid. It's that collapse dive ball. And unfortunately, you know, it's hit with a lot of pace from close distance. So it's tough to hold on to that ball. But again, it's the recovery and the chase. You didn't foul him right there, right? You didn't.
No, that second one I was trying to, because I knew I wasn't going to beat him really. So I was just trying to like hit it out of bounds. But I kind of I missed it a little bit.
This is the other level of goalkeeping when things just go red or whatever color you want to call it, and you're just in the zone. So it's, you know, when you get the shot from the top, then you tip the ball, then it comes back in, then you get up and you dive, and you're just like, whatever it takes, like right here, watch, boom, save, up, boom, save, go, keep going, good, up, boom, save. Like, it's just blackout, do what you got to do.
I was like, just stand in front of it. Eventually it'll hit you.
Unbelievable. Awesome.
But Saskia, this is what you always say though. It's like, you know, this ball, you know, let's just say it was, obviously again, you know, we're splitting hairs here, but it, you know, it came in so fast and so hard. It was hard for the containment.
You're talking about 7 yards away, like getting a pelt into you. The save's incredible as it is, period, really quick. But then the recovery is everything. And look, it doesn't have to be pretty. Doesn't have to be technical. What am I going to say? You should have been facing the other direction, two hands to the ball, smothered it. No, just keep the ball out of net. That's what you did.
And I think, you know, one of the things that I really love about that is that after that second ball save is made, this right here, because you're being effective in the moment. You're like, okay, what's the most dangerous area? This little area right here. So as long as I get my body here, there's
post.
No... Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Near post.
But not even the near post, just low on the near post. Like if she had tried to get up there, she's slotted underneath.
No.
So, you know,
save
I think it's
from
just
the
really
knees.
High GK IQ. I've definitely made this save before.
From your knees?
Never an unintentional. Yeah. Oh, on the knees, like you're still on the knees and then it's the next ball. Yeah. Oh yeah, I've done that. Anything else you want to add, Linz, on this one before we move on?
Well, I just like also when I get so like go, I want to play really fast all the time. But, like, sometimes I should have just, you know, slowed it down a little bit because of the situation.
Yeah, you get that hype in you and that energy. And in this environment, everything was go.
Yeah.
So, you know, and to be honest, the team itself in the third game was more effective slowing it down and actually utilizing the amount of space they had on the field to pass it around and everything. But it was... It was a track meet. It was a sprint. The whole thing was like boom, 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 boom.
To be fair, like in regards to just the whole experience of these types of tournaments, regardless of whether it was a men's team or a women's team, those teams that were not, look who won, a men's team from Connecticut who plays together all the time, you know? So there's that familiarity and it for you all to be able to get out there and rarely have ever played, if not ever played together before. And be able to, you know, to put together performances regardless and put any sort of successful actions together is just a testament to all you guys. Cause it's really, really difficult to be playing against teams that play together all the time.
I think to a nod for the fans as well. And I want to say this is the fans were very soccer smart. They were very soccer educated. They knew the situation. They knew that what was going on and they cheered the US women on every single save Lindsay made. They were on their feet screaming and cheering. Every time we came close to scoring a goal, they knew the situation. It didn't matter that it was 7-0. Nobody cared. It was just like seeing their favorite players play and perform and be back out there. But then the added bonus was Lindsay, you know, being the MVP and being crazy and all over the place. So,
the crowd was
look
awesome.
At that page. There's a there page.
There it is.
About.
There it is. That's it. Snapchat.
It's a meme.
I've definitely been there before.
That's a meme. And then they help her up. You gotta love that.
All the Wrexham fans get up and support
look at
too.
The fans. Yeah. No, everybody was about it. They respected the effort. They were soccer smart, to be honest.
Yeah, and Lori
Lindsay's like, I'm sorry about that touch. Look at her hands up. She's like, I'm sorry.
I gave her a bad ball to begin with. That was. But yeah, whenever I do play, especially in things like this, like I love to like talk to the crowd behind the goal all the time. Do it all the time. It's a game. Like, we're supposed to be having fun. So absolutely. Like I'll make faces. I'll do random things like that, and just entertaining to me.
Hold on, wait, Lindsay. What sport is this right here? Look at this. Look at this play right here. Not this one right here. And that's great again. But look at this insanity right now with what you got going on in the sevens here. Up volley off the post.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're working with a rebounder.
If you see my face after this one, I was like, that was a close one.
But you know what? But this is what we were saying on the bench because I was on the bench. Actually, I was on a cooler, but I think that when you're just clicking, things click for you. You know what I mean? And it was just like it wasn't surprising that this hit off the post and went right back into your hands. But again, if we go to the soccer thought on this, is you immediately tracked the ball, turned your head, and said, "Let me find where it is," right? Instead of being like, "Oh, that got by me," and it hitting you in the back of the head and going into the goal. No offense to anybody in the NWSL that's happened to lately, but I'm just saying, like it's, you were so dialed in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I want to say this first off. You know, one of the things, just in regards to all of this, I was watching all the games. Like, I was
Mike
like,
was texting me.
I literally was joking. I was literally joking to a friend of mine. And I was like, if they had professional sevens, I think I'd be like getting season tickets. Like, I would, like, it's such a fun game. It's such a high energy, exciting game. The energy was so great. The community was so great and everything like that. It just also makes you remember why you do this, why we play this game, why we coach this game, why we broadcast this game, because of the fun. And it looked like all you guys were all having fun out there.
Oh, yeah. I even said, like, is there a 7v7 professional league? Because I'm so down. Even if after 11v11 is over, I was like, this is so much fun.
And a nod to TST, because hopefully we're pushing for a women's tournament next summer. So a TST women's tournament. Yeah, I already know who I'm recruiting as a goalkeeper, but I'm just saying, because we want to.
She might be too busy. She might be out at 11's field.
Hopefully she'll be in the NWSL. So I'm just saying, but I'm like, yeah, but it was a great event, great tournament. It was so exciting, like everything, the 20 minute abs. It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah. I want to play this this clip right here. This is in the 32nd minute. The ball is played down the line to Trundle. There he is again. Guys, literally, I think he moves every 10 yards, like between that little 6-yard box.
Yeah, pretty much.
It just seems like after having a protein shake. So you're cutting off that near post right there. The shot is hit. Because, again, your shape is nice and forward, that kick save is played into a good area where it's no longer dangerous, and mm-hmm. you're able to get back up and recover right there. And you're like, oh, good. I can take a breather for a second right there.
And I feel like a lot of forwards, maybe other forwards not as experienced or something like that, I knew that they had a really quick trigger. So I knew I was going to have to get set very quickly, very early. Because I feel like what I'm used to is that would not be as quick of a trigger, but I knew that I would have to in this situation.
But this is a testament to little things we talk about, even in the big game. So watch when Lindsay starts to move and close, right? So she starts to move and close before Trundle has the opportunity. The ball is in transition and not on his foot yet. And so in the big game, we talk about that. When are you moving and repositioning yourself? It's not once he gets the ball. It's as the ball is traveling, right? So when the ball's traveling from one side of the D to inside the six, you're not moving once the ball hits that player on the opposite side. You're moving while the ball is traveling. So even in this tight space, watch. She's already moving. See, she's already moving. So he's not shooting yet. And so once it's in that space, she's already closed that space and is in the correct position. So I'm going to get really technical on you. This is excellent goalkeeping.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, this is
absolutely
what I,
this is what she does for a living.
But I didn't coach her while I was there. I was just coughing and handing water. So, nothing to coach. That's what I said.
Also, I think, again, this is where a lot of young goalkeepers get caught in this situation right there, is that they're anticipating near post slot.
Well, it's not just that. Most goalkeepers wouldn't have moved yet. So if you go back while this passed, they would have stayed stagnant. And then once it's on Trundle's foot, then they would have tried to close. Now their movement is forward. They're getting off footed. So most goalkeepers wouldn't have moved yet. They would have stayed. And then it comes across his body. I'm pointing at the finger. You can't see me. And so she's moved early. So by the time
maybe we need to get a partnership with a telestrator. So
right.
I don't know.
So by the time he's shooting, she's in position. A lot of goalkeepers would be moving and not set in this situation, and that ball would have been slotted by.
Yeah. That's a great point. That's
Thanks.
A great point. Yeah. Boom. And the save right over there. And then, I mean, we can just leave these. We don't even need to comment.
Yeah. Just keep, look at that high hand upper 90. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I have Jen Mead like punching me on the sideline. Like, oh my
God. Look at the shot.
I think, yeah, God, that one was the first save of the entire tournament, I think. The first.
Two-handed.
And that's when I was like, oh, yeah, we're getting ourselves into something here.
look, even here, closing the space, knowing that he's got his back to you. So once he turns the shoot, he's got nothing to shoot at except for you.
Oh, my God, what a save. This is just unreal. This is just,
this one.
Is just
I think that's my favorite one.
Oh, off the vault. Was that off the half volley right there?
Yeah, but watch the double set here. So here he takes it down. She's deep, right? And then she double sets and comes forward. So if you go back a little bit, she actually goes negative. Lindsay goes negative to see if the first rebound's going to shoot. What's he going to do? Is he going to shoot right here? So she goes negative to give herself a little bit of space. Then she realizes it drops down. Now watch the double set forward to close the space right here. Boom, boom, double set.
Yeah. I think this is all really valuable for young goalkeepers to see, because even in the 11s game, all these close range situations, the actions are the same. That doesn't change. Like you were saying, it's essentially playing, final third soccer, basically, is what seven seems to be. What a save. That guy hit that with some venom too.
Jeez. I got lucky. It bounced like right off my arm, down my body to my knee, and I can just pick it up. We got lucky with the rebound on that one.
Look at the recovery.
This is
here.
Great, but this is also hands down really quick. So look how quick she gets her hands down on that shot. And again, this is inside the 18. So if we put this in big picture mode, that's inside the 18. Watch how fast. Boom, hands down. And forward.
Yeah.
I will be your advocate, Linz. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
Look at that footwork. Look at the handling right there. Nice and clean. Got that little micro step that Saskia loves.
The micro movements.
then you went with the bull in that situation, I saw.
The what?
And then another shot.
The bull, the rolling.
The bull, the rolling out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And boom. There's just some, my gosh. How are you still awake? Like awake? I would have been sleeping for this last week. Like,
I pretty much have been these past days.
Because I'm assuming.
Look at the pre-stretch on this one. Like, go back and knowing that he's about 12 yards out. So the cross, when he comes across, watch the pre-stretch. Boom. And the high hand touch. It's just great. It's just great technical. I know you'd say you're not technical, but this is second nature to you. And it's such a good education on in the box in a big game, in a big field, of how you handle angles, body positioning, and everything. Like, you can equate this to the bigger field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tracking of your head right there, following through with that ball and everything. Again, I think you're being humble when you say you're not technical, because I see a lot of good technical movements here.
You are technical.
That's what my coaches always tell me.
Well,
so maybe
there's a difference between to have.
You don't want to be a robot.
But to have body positioning, body weight in this tight of a space, to me, is the epitome of technique and technical. Like, it's maybe not about like top hand, two hands to the ball, but it is about body positioning and angles and everything. And you have that down.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think one of the things that, oh man, geez, Louise, just getting caught hung out to dry here. Oh, and then another save. Oh my God.
No, this
off
was
the kneecap.
Was,
good old kneecap.
This is game three. This is game three. Like,
let me tell you, this game, I was like, oh boy, I'm so tired. Everything hurts.
It's just me and Jen over there clapping.
There's picture, you know, at like 3 a.m. or something like that. So I don't know. I don't know if you spent any time after the games out and about, but like, I don't know how you had any energy to walk anywhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all the days after I was like limping and everyone was like, yo, are you good?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, Lindsay, we'll start wrapping up and everything like that so that you can spend the next few days.
Go into resting. Like a cryo chamber or whatever those things are.
Yeah. I do want to show something really quickly before we do that. And that is, I want to show some tape of the 11s game here of you, on the 11s field. And first off, you know, the one thing that I think people are going to recognize immediately in regards to the 11s game is
this one.
Not this one. The next one here is, cause it, I think it'll showcase this pretty darn well as this ball is played in is look at the difference. In regards to how you're playing because of the type of field and also the system and everything like that. Wow. Talk about brave goalkeeping. You at midfield?
This one, I know it's going to be like, why did you even come for that? So when the ball was played, she was turned. She couldn't see me that I was there. Her head was like turned backwards for the majority of that ball coming in. And I was like, she's not going to see me. I'm coming.
But
she's not going to recognize me.
But it's the right decision because the other problem here is you're at the 30. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't come and you try to backtrack, she's going to beat you. Because you have to go negative into the box, allow her to dribble, then come forward. And I think once you commit to the jump here, then you've got to keep going.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there's one more and there's another example here right after this is a little bit different right here, right, Linz? Where the ball
this is the one that's like a double save.
Because this one she actually has immediate chase on her. So
right, but it's not just that, but it's further from her. So she's got time to so now you have a ball that's bouncing about 6-7 yards away from her. She's got to run into. So now you have that yardage to actually go back.
And the ball's kind of bouncing like away from me as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. And then you hold position. So it's a lot of, it's a negative movement into a positive save and then the double save. Boom, right there.
And then I got kicked in the face.
Jeez, Louise.
Look at that stadium. I mean,
right? It's like Gladiator. Almost.
It's like, I was about to say.
I was going to say.
It's like the Colosseum or something.
I was gonna say.
I think Caesar held something there back in the day.
What year are you playing soccer? AD 4?
I mean, that stadium's awesome.
Yeah, that's Braga Stadium.
That's unbelievable. All right, we'll start wrapping up right here. Before we wrap up here, Linz, and again, first off, thanks up for taking the time. Thanks for letting us share and boast about you.
Yeah,
because I was talking to everybody about you last week, literally, like on that especially that first day from the Say Word game. Like I was literally like, and I was so proud of myself because Suski knows I'm not an early riser, but I was getting up early so that I could make sure that I didn't miss these games.
Yeah, I've heard nothing, and I've got nothing but good things to say as well, and from people that are like, oh my god. So you know, thanks for letting us boast over you, but it's well deserved.
I appreciate you having me on, inviting me on, and all the support I've had in the past week has been really cool.
I want to ask you, Lindsay, because obviously a lot of young players here, you know, it's the summertime and they're starting to go to college ID camps and different showcases and everything like that. This was a, for lack of a better term, an unorthodox showcase for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any advice for any young goalkeepers going into those environments? Because a lot of times at those environments, and Saskia knows this from coaching at you know, at the collegiate level, is they're put in small-sided environments to showcase mm-hmm. themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big thing is that, like, if you have the things that you can't teach, like the hustle, the competitiveness, just like the fire, the athleticism, like all the stuff that you just can't teach is huge. If you can go into those small sides and just start throwing your body around, taking balls off the face, like just, you know, being in it, being authoritative, all that stuff, they can teach you like how to catch a ball properly. They can mm-hmm. teach you the small things, the technical movements, but it's that fire, that passion, that heart, that competitive nature, hustle, all of that, that can't be taught. That is, I think, will stand out first, and everything else they can teach you.
I totally agree. I always say there's players out there and I'm like, I cannot teach you to flip that switch. Mm-hmm. Like I can put you in drills to make it pull it out of you, but I can't teach it to you. And when you see it as a coach and you see it, you're 100% correct. I can teach you the technical side. I can teach you how to catch properly. I can teach that, but to flip that switch and go like Red Lindsay, well, let's call it that right now. It's a new term, like Red Ross from Friends. You're Red Lindsay. Like if I can, I can't teach that. And if you have it, you're going to go far.
Cause that's how I got recruited. Like Dukar saw that in me. Like I said, I was not a technical person, but he knew I had a fight in me that I, you know,
I love that. I love how that's how you can differentiate yourself in that environment, because like, you know, as I always say to so many young goalkeepers, I literally had this conversation with a goalkeeper 2 days ago. And I said, when you go to this ID camp, I just want you to know everyone can run through cones. Everyone can side shuffle. Everyone can catch the ball. Everyone can handle a cross. Everyone can hit a side volley, you know? So how are you going to showcase that you're bringing a skill set to this program that they need, mm-hmm. as opposed to just another goalkeeper who's, if you go there and just trying to show that you can do this, and trying to tick all those boxes, then all you're doing is trying to prove that you don't have deficiencies, as opposed to showing mm-hmm. what intangibles you have.
Yeah. It's and that competitiveness and that intensity and that switch, as I like to call it, goes so far when everybody's basically at the same level.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
If you take a breakaway off the face, you're going to be remembered for the rest of camp. That's how you get your name.
And you get back up and keep going. Exactly. Absolutely.
You will be remembered for the rest of that camp.
I digress. If you have a concussion, please let everybody know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But like, be safe, I guess.
Yeah. Be safe. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Be safe. But Lindsay, you need to talk to your agent about getting some endorsements for Tiger Balm, Bengay,
Ice Bath.
Icy Hot. Yeah.
Whatever power drink you're drinking. Oh my
goodness. Should I plug it?
Absolutely. What
There's
is it?
Another one right now, actually.
Oh,
Celsius. Oh, they, I think those.
They should be calling immediately.
I wake up every morning.
It could be a Celsius commercial. Literally. They just have to show the highlights from the 7v7 and be like,
yeah. Oh.
And you just like, then have you just get up off the ground and just pull one out and just go.
Yeah. You made that look like a cartoon, like right a cartoon character.
Yeah, it's like.
Oh my gosh!
All right.
Oh my god! All right. All right. We'll start wrapping up. Lindsay, appreciate you taking the time. I think you just created an account on the Union, didn't you? Somebody Harris just created an account on the Union. I don't know if that was you or if it was a family member.
Let's be real. It was probably my mom. She would be the one to be all over that. So,
oh my gosh. Okay. Well, if you want to connect with you, where is the best place to connect with you right now until you get your Union handle?
Instagram. I check Instagram pretty regularly. At Hoopla Squad.
At Hoopla Squad. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I don't guys, if you're wondering, get on Twitter at all, really. So.
But you did retweet us.
I did. I'll like retweet and things like that, but I don't tweet very often. But on Instagram, I usually.
Oh, well, speaking of people that are blowing up on social media, Saskia is blowing up on social media right now. I was just seeing there's a little bit of a video playing right now with Saskia going on there, which is very, very cool. Should we bring that up really quickly?
Yeah,
Saskia?
Let me see it.
No, it's just, go ahead, Mike. It's fine.
All right. Let's see if I can. I don't know if I can play the video. Let's see if I can play the video. I'll have to find it in here. Maybe if I share my screen from Twitter. I don't know how that works. Well, we'll share it on our socials, and everybody can see it from there. Yeah, we don't want to hold everybody hostage. But now I can't find the screen where you guys are. Oh, there you guys are. Okay, you guys disappeared for a second. I was on my screen. But basically, Saskia, congratulations to Saskia. She was a recipient of a grant from Ooh. iFund Women for former pro athlete, especially women entrepreneurs out there. And she was honored at halftime at the Angel City match on Monday. And I was there to accept on her behalf.
Because you are my co-founder. Don't play yourself down. So we got a grant from iFund Women and Angel City to help support for former female soccer players and everything in their ventures. And of course, ours is theunionsports.com. Which the union, and so get on there. But it's an honor for my fund women to get this grant and to have such amazing women entrepreneurs believe in our vision and our what me and Mike are doing here. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
And shout out to the other two recipients. One of them a goalkeeper as well too. It was Bianca Henniger, right? It was Bianca mm-hmm. Henniger? Yeah. Who was the other one? Who I believe played at Santa Clara, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's where she played, but I would have to double check that. And guys, if you don't know what we're talking about, the Union, Union GK community, you can get it on Apple stores, Google Play stores, on the web app, all that. You can engage youth athletes engaging with top pros, top players. We just started Union Premium this weekend. Our official launch is at the end of the summer, but Union Premium just started. We got really cool things like breakdown sessions. We did one a few weeks ago with our own Saskia Weber, where you can come in, and what we just did with Lindsay, we can do that with you, with your youth clips from your game. So we're very excited about all of that stuff going on. And if you want to reach out to us about a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, it's contact at insidethe18media.com on email or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union platform. That's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys. Yeah!